In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good morning to everybody out there, and happy Saturday to you, wherever you may be listening. Maybe you're in your car, listening online. Or on the app. Anyway is fine because I'm just happy you guys are listening to the show and want to know more about high school sports here in the Central Valley, in the Central Section. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. You guys know where it is. On the east side of Blackstone, across the street from the Hobby Lobby. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. And I love doing my show here. I see people throughout my two-hour show, and I actually get here around 9 o'clock when the store opens, open 9 to 5. And people are coming in all through the hours, getting their Letterman's jackets. Moms and dads and brothers and sisters are here. Could customize the Letterman's jacket. Put whatever you want on it. I'm looking at jackets from Sanger High to my left, Madera with that classic blue, Matilda Torres to my right, Fresno Christian, Kerman, Edison, Hoover with that green and white. Sunnyside, Selma, Central, Kalinga, Woodlake behind me. Some of the Clovis schools, Clovis High, Clovis North. And there's Kingsburg with that classic gold and green. So thanks again to First String Sports. They are awesome. Make sure you guys come down here for not only Letterman's jackets, right, but for all your sporting good needs. Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Weather Report. As you guys know, the afternoons have been absolutely gorgeous for about the last week and a half here in the Central Valley. Today we got a high of 57 degrees, a little bit cloudy after 12 o'clock. And one of the reasons is because there's 30% chance of rain at 8. I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. It's also rain forecasted for Sunday. 60%? Huh? All right, I guess we need it. Need a little bit of rain. Rain's not a bad thing in the Central Valley, but yeah, the weather's been fantastic. It's 51 degrees right now. And up until 12 o'clock. reoccurring guest. Love this guy. You know him. You love him. You've heard his stories. Todd Tompkins, if you're not familiar with the name, right? He is an absolute gem. He is the father of Trent Tompkins, who is the Central Section's all-time leading passer at Central High, won a Valley Championship, the first one in school history. Yep, Trent is his son. He's a BMX legend as well. He was ranked number one in the nation as an eight-year-old. He's got tons of stories. And this guy, I don't know. Well, I mean, I'll ask him when he gets here. But I don't necessarily would call it a midlife crisis. But he's back in the game. He is traveling all over. I think last week he was in Bakersfield. I asked him a couple weeks ago if he could come on the show. He's like, well, I got a race in Bakersfield that I can make this week. So just an incredible storyteller, played basketball at Fresno Pacific University, has some good stories from there. So can't wait for you guys to hear him. He's going to be extremely entertaining. After the break, we're going to hear from him. We're going to go all the way up to 11 o'clock with this guy. So Todd Tompkins coming on. At the top of the hour, one of the good stories in boys basketball this year, flown under the radar a bit, is Justin Garza High School. They beat Madera South last night, 78-55. They're now 16-6 on the season, 4-1 in league in the NYL. Head coach Ken Vosser, he's going to join us. He was on a couple years ago. Ken is another Fresno Pacific University or college connection, along with Todd. But I've known Ken for a long time. He's doing a great job. They are, they're playing really good basketball. So I'm excited to hear from his team. I actually watched them in their first game of the year at Central Valley Christian, and CVC blew them out. It was not a pretty game for Justin Garza. And I got to be honest, right in the back of my head, I'm like, ooh, man, this is going to be a long season for those guys. But heck no, 16-6. So looking forward to talk to Kenny. At the bottom of hour number two, I don't know, around 11:35-ish, Sierra Pacific girls coach Victor Chauverin Jr., first year at the helm. He's going to talk about his team this year. They're 15-6, 5-0 in league. They're not going to lose a league game. his first year, doing a great job. He also does a fantastic job on Twitter. He's a good follow on Twitter because he has just started to break down the Max Preps rankings and where teams might land in the playoffs. He didn't get into the tiebreakers and the, you know, the little minuscule points that could be separating teams with the tiebreakers, right? He didn't get into that, but he gives a good, just kind of a synopsis, a preview of what the playoffs could look like for both boys and girls. So we're going to take a look at that, obviously talk about his team, what his chances are. I think they're going to land in Division II this year. So chock full of fun stuff in this show, good stories, good information, and that's what I try to bring to you guys, the people. Speaking of a good show, I got somebody lined up next week that I know you guys are going to want to hear from. Adrian Martinez is coming on the show about 11:20, or 10:20. Yeah, 10:20 in the first hour next week. You guys know Adrian is a Clovis West grad, went to Nebraska, broke a bunch of records in his true freshman year. For his final year, transferred to Kansas State, had that incredible game against Oklahoma, didn't get drafted. It was on the Lions preseason for a few games, got released before the season, and then tore it up in the UFL. Was the MVP, won the championship, and then latched on with the New York Jets, where he was with the Jets this entire year, was on the practice squad. He didn't get elevated to the 53-man roster for a game day, but he's on all year. And he just signed what's called a futures contract. So the Jets have locked him up for 3 years. They liked what they saw out of Adrian enough to give him a very nice three-year contract, which is really cool. Right now he's in Omaha, Nebraska, working out, getting ready. So we're going to hear from Adrian and just all those experiences that he's had. Just turned 25 a couple weeks ago. So I'm excited to talk to Adrian Martinez and catch up with him. So last night, we were able to broadcast the Clovis West at Clovis North boys basketball game. Both teams were 3-1 in the track. Both lost to Buchanan. We're going to be talking about Buchanan in just a second here. Clovis North led 19-8 after the first quarter, never looked back. The final score was 64-55. Clovis North has a big three: Lucas Jones, McKay Admonson, and Eli Gish. Lucas Jones and McKay both scored 20 in that game. Eli Gish, who they missed in their loss to Buchanan on Tuesday, he was out with a sickness. Hadn't touched a basketball all week. Came in, played pretty darn well for being sick, scored 11. Had 5 rebounds, 5 blocks. He's become really active on the defensive end. Clovis West, they had some opportunities. Obviously, they fell behind in the first quarter, but played Clovis North pretty even the rest of the game. They did have opportunities, but just couldn't get over the hump. I think one time they were down 7. Could have cut it to 4, I guess, with the 3-pointer, and just couldn't convert. DJ Stickman, Jace Kellogg, their top 2 dogs, played pretty well last night. But they fell again. The Eagles are now, get this, 10-14 on the season. They are 3-2 in track, have a loss to Buchanan as well. Beat Central to open in track play. And Central beat Buchanan. All right, but 10-14 on the season, it's something that we're not quite used to. But DJ Stickman is an excellent player, headed to Fresno State. In Tuesday's game against Clovis High, in their big win, check out these stats. Through 3 quarters, Stickman had a triple-double, 25 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists, and added 4 blocks. Just a great, great player, athletic. We actually had Coach Wahlberg on at halftime of last night's game. You know all his connections, obviously, with Clovis West. You know, he's doing the best he can at Fresno State right now, the best he can. He's working hard. But, yeah, Coach just raves about him. Obviously, he coached him for 3 years. He's like, he's athletic. He's got Division I ability, you know, Division I speed. Got to work on his ball handling, a little bit of shooting, but he's going to be a good one for Fresno State. So that was fun to catch up with Coach Wahlberg. Speaking of Buchanan, I mentioned we're going to talk about them a little bit. They beat Clovis East last night, 66-53. They are now tied with Clovis North at 4-1. They are 20-4 overall. And Connor Sheets, Connor with an E, not with an O. Connor Sheets was named Cal High Sports Athlete of the Week. a huge honor. Huge honor. And this dude is just, I mean, everybody that watches him raves about him. He should be a Division I type player. West Coast Conference kind of guy. Right? Can see him play at that level. Cal High Sports watched him play over the summer. They were impressed. They saw him drop 41 points against Alameda Mission Hills, who's the defending T3 state championship. So he got on Cal High Sports' radar. Right? Those games matter. Those games matter, right? You never know who's watching. But in Tuesday's win, he scored 26 points. That win against Clovis North. When they beat Clovis West, he scored 27 points. Buchanan previously has a win against Clovis West in the Modesto Christian tournament. It's the first time since 2016 that the Bears have been able to beat Clovis West in consecutive games. Buchanan, we're gonna broadcast one of the games. I think it's going to be the Clovis West game. Yeah, we're going to broadcast that one. So really looking forward to that one. And, of course, Tom Orlich is doing an amazing job at Buchanan, won a state championship in Nevada, and all of his success at Clovis West as well. So tons of storylines in the Central Valley. I was just yesterday broadcasting the game, just looking around and seeing just the imprint of Coach Wahlberg and the family tree. You know, his daughter Heather was a girls coach at Clovis North for many years as well. So the basketball community is super, super tight. I guess that's what I'm getting at. Speaking of basketball community, I wanted to hit on this just a little bit. I don't want to waste too much time. You guys saw on Thursday, maybe you didn't, some kid in SoCal, high school basketball game, scored 102 points. 102 points in one game. Broke the California high school record. All right? Mesrobian High School in Pico Rivera, that is on the eastern edge of Los Angeles, along the basin there. Nick Kachikian, 102 points. They beat a team, Waverly High, who was 0-9. They beat them 119-25. Score 79-0 at halftime, guys. And you might have figured it out. Yeah, he scored all 79 points in the first half. All right, once he got the record in the third quarter, coach took him out. 2 minutes left in the third quarter, he didn't score again. All right, went 48 for 60 shooting in only those 22 minutes. I watched the video. I saw it, and it's pretty much as advertised. It's what you think. It's what you think. I mean, the other team, they couldn't even pass the ball. They looked like seventh graders. So tons of things to think about, a lot of angles. Right? Yeah, cool. We got a record. It's going to be in the record book. Cal High Sports is going to recognize it. But, man, I mean, right? Like, in the sense of sportsmanship? Huh? I mean, literally, it was a layup drill. There were a couple three. He hit 3 of 6 threes, right? But he grabbed every offensive rebound and put it right back up. 6'2" player. So, anyway, it is what it is, right? I mean, what can you say? What can you say? I don't know. Sportsmanship thrown out, but hey, I guess you can say congrats to a kid that scored 102 points in a basketball game. LaMelo Ball, remember that game, right? That scored 92 points for Chino Hills, right, back in the day. But that game was at least competitive. It was the highest scoring game in high school basketball history, 146-123 in regulation, so. Anyway, that's just a synopsis of some of the stuff that's going on in the Central Valley, up and down the state as well. We got Todd Tompkins coming up. I can't wait for you guys to hear him. He's got a ton of great and entertaining stories. He's up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue. And, yeah, you bet. Todd Thompson in the house, man. This dude, he could run for mayor of Carruthers, mayor of Easton, mayor of wherever, man, because he's a legend, right? He just walks into a store and everybody knows Todd. So Todd's joining us right now. Got to know him at Fresno Pacific College back then. Now it's a university, back in the early 90s. Former BMX child prodigy. And I got the proof, man. I got the proof on that. He's back in the game racing. I'm going to hear some of his racing stories. Went to Washington Union, played basketball there, was a freshman starting point guard, then transferred to Clovis High. He is the father of Trent Tompkins. And you guys know Trent, Central Section's leading passer. I think he holds the record still for touchdowns in a season. Some crazy number, like 80, I don't know.
Yeah, all I know 80? Is all I know is he can't guard me. That's
he can't
all
guard you in basketball.
I don't know what his stats are. He did all right.
So we talked about a little bit about Trent and going to UC Davis, Todd. Like, it's over, right?
Yeah.
It's over for you, too. Did you have a little depression set in for you? Because I know you go to all the games, or you probably only missed like five in his career, and you're a big tap guy, right? You bring your truck, and you treat the people to some treats, right?
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
But
I bring the adult candy.
So just talk about how cool those experiences were, going and watching games and hanging out, and how you doing with that right now.
I'd say, you know, the thing that I didn't expect from this whole experience is, you know, his goal since he was little, he wanted to get a Division I scholarship, and so I'm there to help him, right? He didn't know which sport. I thought he should have played baseball, but his passion was football. So how do you change that? You know, you roll with it. So, but you know, from with your kids, you're doing travel baseball, you're doing travel soccer, all that, and you form these bonds with these parents. Well, I thought that was over in college. I thought he's 18, he does his own thing. But we get in there, man, and we start tailgating, and then you find like parents, and we formed bonds with families that we'll have for the rest of our lives. Tina and I just went to a wedding in Caldwell, Idaho, with one of his teammates, and I didn't expect that part from it. So, you know, he finished his football career, and he's, you know, his body's pretty beat up, and he's like, yeah, I could use a break. And I'm like, yeah, but I miss Bob. I miss,
sure.
You know, I miss Randy.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we've got trips set up, you know, they're coming out. And so that's going to continue just like it does. I still have the friendships with, you know, his 8U, you know, travel baseball team. I still hang out with those guys once a year. And I didn't expect that, but that was an awesome side of the coin.
And Trent did a little bit of everything, right? Obviously the records that he set at quarterback, and then he gets to Davis, and he's so good at everything, right? They're like, hey, you're going to return punch. We're going to put you in the slot. We're going to put you in a wildcat. We'll let you throw the ball every once in a while. Like, he did a little bit of everything at Davis, didn't he?
He just sent me his, he did a career film, you know, that he's submitting to agents and things like that. And I looked at it, and I'm like, if you weren't playing against big people, I'd swear this is Pop Warner film. it's pretty fun. You know, he went in as a quarterback, and they had Jake Mayer, one of the great quarterbacks. He's still starting in the Canadian Football League now. And Trent's like, I just want to participate. Like, how can I help this team? And they said, well, you know, we need a punt returner. Okay. And it led to you know, where he's at now, just doing a little bit of everything. So that was a cool process to watch. He you know, when we talked about that, he said, you know, Dad, I'm thinking about, you know, moving positions. And my thing was, it's not my legacy, it's yours. Like, I don't care. If you're happy, man, go for it. Like, I helped you get to your scholarship. Man, I'm done. Whatever else, you know, what are you going to have regrets for? Like, I don't want you to be 60 and go, oh, my dad, he told me to stay at quarterback, you know. So, you know, he went with his heart, and he's like, you know, yeah, I could do this. And it was – luckily, he's such a great athlete that he was able to start immediately at slot. And it's like, you know, and he was bummed about this and that. I said, Trent, they recruited people specifically for that who've been playing that since fifth grade, and you were able to transition. Like, relax, man.
What's next for him? Like, is he talking to some dudes? Is he draftable? I mean, where is he at with all this?
Yeah, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Like, he's not going to get drafted. That's very rare, right? That's a select group. But his hope is to catch on at a camp, get invited to a camp, and you know, he already has interest in Canadian Football League, UFL, overseas. You know, he's Italian descent. So in Italy, there's pro teams that want him to come coach and play and kind of do that. And so he's looking at that. He has, because he went to Davis, you have job offers by the time you graduate. So he has two awesome, like, career long job offers. But, you know, he's like, I don't know if I'm done playing. I don't know if I've scratched that itch completely. So he's got a pro day coming up. He's going to Southern California. He's working with some of the big quarterback gurus because, you know, they need receivers. So he's doing that. He's met with some teams, which, you know, means nothing. But it, you know, but it's cool.
They
it's
know
cool
about story. It. You know what I mean? The shows they know about.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He's a
yeah.
name,
I mean,
right?
That's cool.
He's up there.
Yeah. So there's that. So his hope, you know, his dream is to get into a camp. Let's see what happens. You know, it's ironic because all of his drills, 3-cone, 40, height, weight, everything is the exact replica of Julian Edelman. So hopefully somebody's looking for a Julian Edelman, and I got a guy for you. I got a guy.
You got a guy.
I know him. Yeah.
You know a kid. You know a kid.
Yeah.
I could see that. I could see that. He's such a gamer. He had that game-winning catch. I don't remember against who, right in the corner where it was controversial because it didn't look like he got in, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the last play of the game.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You were there?
I was – you know, a funny thing is my wife, since he started playing sports, she gets stressed out. She leaves. So my wife leaves the stadium, and she's pacing. And I'm in the stadium, and I can see her in the parking lot walking. So now that's extra stress for me because I got to text her, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got to keep her abroad. So it's a cheer or something, you know, crowd's yelling. She's like, what happened? I'm like, man, I'm just enjoying the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. But, so he goes. He makes the game win. So it's ironic, too, is they never led that entire game from the start to the finish, but they won because he caught it with no time left on the clock. And, you know, he told me, he goes, I knew I had to catch it close to my chest because if I had it out, they'd say it wasn't over the line. And I knew I had to kick the cone on the way out. So he caught it to his chest, kicked the cone. And I know there's some people who still say, but I've got sideline pictures.
You do.
Oh, I got proof. Come on. Let's go. I'll go to court. I'll go to court right now.
Who's it against? Who was that?
Portland State.
And Shashere was the quarterback, Clovis West.
He had a hell of a game. Oh,
he's good.
Man.
He's legit.
Yeah,
he's got those long strides.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. I love his parents. I work with Romy all the time because I'm in the special education field. And so I see Romy all the time. And he played. That was one of those I know for her, like, we lost the game. But them walking to the parking lot, I had to think that they were thinking, like, well, my son tore it up because Dante had a hell of a game.
Yeah, good player. So you've made a little – you talk about Trent's legacy. You got a little legacy at UC Davis, right? So I heard this little rumor. This little birdie told me that you kind of – what did you do? You infiltrated the freshmen?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they do a walk onto the field. So just – I don't know, just walk us through that literally. Like what's Todd Tompkins doing here?
Well, just so you know, I never let the truth stand in the way of a good story. Okay, so my stories are like Minute Maid fruit juice. There's a certain percentage of juice in there that makes it legit. So I'll bring you a little juice. But so all year they do these deals where people run the field before the game, and so I was, unbeknownst to me, because I'm in the tailgate going hard, right? I'm locked in 4 hours before the game, and I'm holding court on LaRue Avenue, and we're making it happen. And so I start hearing, like, oh, they're going to do the freshman run. And so I perk up, right? Because in every away game we went to, whatever they did in that city, I did it. Like, I did the Tequila Sunrise in Northern Arizona. I did everything they do. And so I'm like, wait, I did not exercise every opportunity given to me at this UC here in Davis, California. So, they go, yeah, we got the freshmen. So I did the freshman run. 2 weeks later, I graduated because I did the graduate run. I did the 13 and under run. That was another one I did. But my thing was every time I ran the field, I would do the centipede or worm, whatever you want to call it. So there's a freshman in high school, teammate of Trent's, and he's like, I look at him, like, Jackson, we doing this? He's like, we're doing it. So I, okay. So I go assess the situation because supposedly it's this big security thing, which it was.
Yeah.
But let me tell you.
This is the freshman run?
The freshman run. So they have 2,000 freshmen of Davis that you get a shirt, you line up before the game, you run across the stadium, everybody goes nuts, and then you leave and you get off. And so I walk up, and there's a line. I mean, it's $2,000, right? And I'm walking, and there's a security guard, and then there's the gal at the computer. Like, she checks you in. Okay, you are a legit student. Got you. Now you can go to section 2 where they will give you a shirt, and here's your – she gives you papers, these little, I don't know, tickets.
Yeah.
And you get a shirt, and you give them your size. And then from there, you go and you get in line. So, you know, I assess the situation as any professional would, and I tell Jackson, here's what we're going to do. Okay, so I'm going to go, and I'm going to play the dumb dad. I play dumb really well because that's just me in general. So I'm going to play the dumb dad that my son, you know, I've come up with this whole deal. I said, when I cover the security guard, you go to the computer. Okay.
Good. You're basically setting a pick.
Exactly. Yeah. And he rolled. Yeah. And he was wide open. So I go to the security guard, and, you know, I'm being animated. I'm like, hey, man, you know, my son, he's late from class, man. It's a Saturday. But he doesn't know. He's security guard, right? They may have class. I don't know. So I'm like, he's late from class, man. So what do we need to do, man? He just texted me. And he's like, oh, you know, you're a father. You care about your son type deal. Well, Jackson's in line. So I go, hey, here's the story. Thank you, man. So then I go up to the computer gal, and I shade to the side, and I'm like, hey, check this out. Obviously, I'm not the freshman. However, and I go into this whole deal, and I'm like, so what do they do? She's like, oh, they give you tickets. So I grab a ticket. I go, these? Okay. So then I'm just talking to her, and I just drop them on the ground, and I'm just talking. I go, okay, so my son just comes up. So Jackson gets him off the ground, goes to the next step, and he turns the tickets in, gets a couple shirts. I'm like, thank you so much. And we leave. We walk out. And then, so the best part about it is that we go do the freshman run, and there's video of it. I run out
there. There is video.
And I always wear my UC Davis Hawaiian shirt because I'm semi-formal, but I like to party, right? So I'm running onto the field, and you can tell it's me. I have gray in my beard, and I have a Hawaiian shirt on. I veer off from the track, and I start doing the centipede at the 50-yard line, and all my old people, my tailgate people, fired up. You know, we're going nuts. And then at halftime, I'm up there. I just leave concessions. And the AD comes up, and he goes, hey, man. He goes, how you doing? I said, good. What's up? You know, give him the handshake. And he goes, you know, I've been doing this for 20-some-odd years, man. And he goes, you know, this was the year. I look up, and I go, there's a freshman going rogue. And I'm just listening to him, and he goes, so I walk over to this guy, and I'm going to yank him off the field. And he goes, and I look, and it's you. And he goes, I just thought to myself, well, at least he didn't bring a beer on the field.
Wearing the Hawaiian shirt, you got salt and pepper in your beard.
Making it happen.
There is video evidence. I think it's still up on your Instagram account. Oh, my gosh. That is absolutely amazing. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got more stories. We got to talk some BMX stuff because Todd is thick in it, and we got some stories from Fresno Pacific University. We're going to take a small break. We're bringing back Todd Tompkins on 1430 ESPN. It's story time here. Hearing some good stuff. Got my friend Todd Tompkins here. Played basketball at Washington Union, Clovis High, Fresno Pacific. We're going to get to that in a second. And I mentioned Todd, BMX legend, right? My buddy teaches with me at Traver. He's a Carruthers guy, too. Grew up in Carruthers, and he was a BMX guy, too. And you were known around town, man. Todd Tompkins is here. He's racing on our track. And you got up to number one in the nation when you were 8 years old?
Yeah.
True story?
That's my mantra, man. I used to be rad.
You used to be rad?
I used to be, yeah.
And now you're back being rad, right? When did you start this new adventure? When did you start, like 2 years ago, did you start to get an itch to race again?
It's kind of a long process. I went to, I'm still active, but my knees aren't as active. They aren't participating like they should. And we've had long talks with my knees, and they don't agree with what I'm doing. But I went to the doctor, and he said, man, your knees are shot. You can't play basketball no more. So he said, you know, you should cycle. I'm like, well, that's boring. Yeah. I can't ride straight, you know. But I thought, I used to BMX. So a buddy of mine, Robert Rio Frio, who he still races today. He's my BMX buddy. He got me a Chase, a BMX bike, and I didn't really do anything with it. I sat on it. And then last year, I had another buddy, Ernie's like, hey, man, you should do it. Like, you know, used to race. You're a world champion. You know, you should get back into it. And I thought, oh, what the heck? So I called Robert up, and Robert's like, yeah, dude, let's do it. So I went out there. I just started in I think my first race was in February of last year. So I took 40 years off, and I came back in a year. So it's coming back to me. It's getting there. I'm still probably a good 2 years away from where I'd like to be. But, I'm swept up in it, man. I'm having fun. A lot of my friends were like, dude, so you race against, like, little kids? And I'm like, no, they actually have, like, my age group. Like, there's old people that race. So, yeah.
Are you in the 50 club yet? Are you 50 years old?
This year I will be.
You will be?
Yeah, I'm still holding out.
All right.
Yeah, my wife is. She's a Cougar, not a Clovis High one either. But, yeah, I'm almost there.
So would that bump you up into a different age group?
Yeah, I'll go to the yeah, so right now I'm in
Golden 40s. Seniors or what?
Yeah. There's actually a 65-plus group, and they stack the gates, man. And I'm in the 45 to 50. So now I'm on the back end of that, right? So now I'm like, okay, I should be in my prime right when I'm the young guy in that next group.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's – I'm
right, like Little League, right? The kid that barely, he's the oldest kid or whatever because he made it by like a couple days and he already had a mustache, you know, at 11 years old. One of those guys.
Yep.
So you're all right. So I guess I really didn't research it that much. So BMX, sprint, straight sprint, one lap around the track, no messing around, right?
Yeah. You're going about – it's about five – you're doing about five sprints – total of 35 seconds long, but it's intense because you're hitting jumps, you're hitting turns, you're hitting guys. You get pretty tore up, but it's a lot. So, I mean, I went out there thinking, oh, this isn't going to be too bad. I'll get right back into it, and that was a falsehood.
Where do you feel it the most? Is it like legs, arms, everywhere?
It literally is. Definitely quads, hams, but everything. I mean, BMX now, you clip in. Like, you clip your feet in. So, like, your calves, your ankles, shoulders, forearms are humming. I mean, it's – like, I wake up in the morning after every race, and I'm like, oh, there's that body part. He got jealous. Okay, yeah, you're there. Yeah, it's I've had a couple, good crashes already. But, I mean, it's pretty intense. You're hauling. You're going anywhere from, 15 to 30 miles per hour on a bike, trusting seven other guys that we're all going to, have this beautiful dance and cross the finish line together.
So how many races in a day? You got to qualify, right? I mean, if you get last place, you're pretty much done. How does that all work?
Yeah, you go if you go to a local. So there's tracks in Reedley, Hanford, Lemoore, Woodward Park. You go to a local, it's going to be an all-points race, and they're going to mix all kinds of age groups because there's just not enough people on a Tuesday night to come race, right? So you may race a 16-year-old, a 30-year-old, but you're guaranteed three sprints around the track. You got two heats and a main. If you go to a national, you got two heats to qualify, and then from there you may go to quarters, you may go to semis, and then mains. So you could go anywhere from three to five sprints, and it's funny because – I was at a SoCal Nationals a couple weeks ago, racing against top riders in the world. I mean, the top five in the world were in my class. They were there. So it was a good barometer for me to see where I'm at. But you're there, and you're going against these guys, and it's like you all out, and then you sit for half an hour. And then you got to fire it back up.
Eat an Uncrustable or peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right?
Yeah, peanut butter and honey, that's my move.
All right.
And then you're like – talking to yourself like, hey, calves, you guys ready? No. Hammies, you're good. I got one. My right leg's ready. You're trying to get everybody on the same page. And then you got to go up there and you're kind of just looking around. It's like, rider's ready. Watch the light. Boom. And you got to just explode. Yeah.
What's your best finish so far?
So I do well in like the state races, the local races. It's the I'm trying to be the best in the world again. So in SoCal, they had the top five. So they have the U.S. championship, which is called the Grands. And the top five was in that race. And I was there. I got sixth. So I'm right there. But I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, that's the best of the United States. And I'm right there, and I'm only almost a year into this. So, it was comforting for me, like motivating. And then I raced in Switzerland. And over there in Switzerland, they started later, a decade later, for BMX. So they just have a 30-plus age group. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went over there, and I can't wait. I'm racing there again in June in Switzerland for the Swiss Cup, and I can't wait to see, my progression, how I did. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be
that's
fun.
That's awesome. All right, it's fun. Following you on social media through this adventure, man, I feel like I'm a part of it, man. You watch those videos. You're a great storyteller, and you walk people through that experience that you're experiencing. Good stuff. Fresno Pacific, right? So
Birds.
Go Birds. Go Birds. So you're on the basketball team, right? Just a bunch of characters. It's a good time of life, man. Early 90s, that's a late 80s, early 90s. That's a good time of life, man. I heard a story. John Jones was on. I think he's a teammate of yours, right?
Oh, yeah.
Told a story. There was some dude in Hawaii Hilo, who would dunk the basketball, right, and then, like, run through the doors. Because at Fresno Pacific at the Special Events Center, mm-hmm. the doors are pretty close to underneath one of the baskets, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do a layup and you're crazy, you get fouled, like, you can literally go through the doors. So Hilo is a guy that would dunk it and just be a crazy dude and run through the doors and come back to the other side and get pulled by his coach, and he'd dunk it again and do the same thing.
Same thing.
You got a similar story? John teased it a little bit. He can't tell your stories, right?
No.
So that's why I had to bring on the man for the first account. You did the same type of thing?
Yeah.
Not for dunking the ball, though.
No. I could, but not with anyone around me.
Yeah.
I had to be by myself. But, that guy was – he's kind of like my spirit animal. Like, that's how I was naturally – I got a lot of fraternities from Fresno State that would come to our games because, you know, I'd go sub in – and I would dolphin dive and do the centipede in front of the sub table as I'm going by sub and just keep going, you know, and I'm not right. I mean, I'm left. Everybody knows that. And so I was always doing stuff like that. And I did stuff like that, but not to his extent. I did a few times go chase the ball and come back with a hot dog. Or I'd bring a soda back in and I'd hand it to the ref, and the ref would be like, "What? This ain't the Harlem Globetrotters. What are you doing?" I just love to see people's reactions and my coach just his disdain and all that good stuff. But yeah, this dude took it to another level. He dunked. He ran out of the arena so long that the ref was like, "We need a sub." I don't know where he went. Dude came back in. At least I scored a hot dog. This guy just came back in, and he went to the sub table. And coach was like, no, what are you doing? So, but he was amazing. He was a transfer from Louisville. He was 6'9", power forward. He was like Karl Malone. He was amazing. So, yeah, coach was like, go ahead. We'll talk about this later. Yeah, that guy. But he was the best because he had mouthpiece too. Like, I didn't talk trash because a 5'11 point guard is not really going to back up a lot. Okay, so I didn't really I wasn't verbal, but this guy could back it up. And we come down on offense, and I remember there was a switch, and I forgot who was on him. And he turns around, he goes, hold on. Like the whole game stopped. We were like, what? Hold on. Well, you see who I got on me? Mouse in the house, let's go. And he's yelling at the scoreboard, put two up before he even got the ball. And I'm dying laughing. I'm like, I love this guy. And the rest of the guys on our team are getting pissed, right? They're like, oh, we got to take it down. Just like, this is awesome. I love this guy. Yeah, he was awesome.
And you played with some really good players as well. A lot of local legends and, the Amundsen brothers, right? Tim, who won titles at Clovis East as a coach, doing a great job at Bullard. And then Ty, who's
doing the same thing in Arizona.
And then Tony, right? The other brother who's at Clovis North, watched his game last night. So, when you got a couple shooters and you're the 5'11 point guard, you know, when you got an Amundsen yelling at you for the basketball, like, walk us through that stuff. Like, what's it like for you? How do you make the choice there?
As a true point guard, and I say true point guard because I was the old school version. Like, I would rather get an assist than points. And now they have guys who just want to score. But to have those two guys as options, like, I couldn't ask. It was a candy store for me. I mean, it was pretty much like, do I want Ty? Do I want Tim? It don't matter, you know. And that was great having those guys. And we had, you know, 6'11", Donnie Moore down low. And, I mean, we had a solid squad. A lot of D1 transfers for that one. But I know what you're alluding to.
Somebody was about to break a record.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And it was either one.
Yeah. They were both going for it.
It became me to choose. But, yeah, so I forgot who we were playing. We're at Fresno Pacific, and we're winning by quite a bit. Well, unbeknownst to me, because this team is full court pressing us the entire game. What's my job? Break the press. So I am dog tired. And when you have those two shooters on your team who are about to break a record, unbeknownst to me again, they're spotting up at the three-point line, and they're yelling, open, right? So I'm going through three or four guys in the press. Like, you're supposed to shoot middle. No, those guys aren't shooting middle. They're spotted up.
You're doing the hard work.
I am doing the lion's share of this. So we're in the fourth quarter, and I'm tired. And I have like 4 points at this point because I can't get across half court. I'm dead. And I go into the timeout, and one of my buddies tells me, he goes, hey, they're about to break the record. I said, what record? The 3-point record. I go, what do they got? Like, they both have 7 3-pointers in this game. And I think the record was 9 or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, I get it. And so I'm going back down, and then they're both – now they're chirping because it's the second half. We're almost done with this game. And they're both chirping like, hey, hit me. I'm open. You're always open, you know. And so at one point, I'm ticked off now because they both have 30-some points and I have 4. And I'm like, hey, you know, share the love here. So I pass the ball. Something happens. Ball goes out of bounds. And it's the ball goes or the ref can't get it. We're kind of backpedaling. And Tim looks at me, goes, hit me. I'm open. And Ty's doing the same thing. And I look at Tim and I said, Tim. I said, I got 4 points. You got like 30. What the heck, man? And I go, you know the old saying, brother, there ain't no I in team. And we're backpedaling. And he goes, hey, I look over and he goes, there isn't Tim. I said, man, you are getting the record. I am feeding you. Sorry, Ty, you didn't have a clever clever statement, however. So, yeah, I just kept feeding Tim. I'm like, get your record, brother. You deserve it. but yeah, it was fun, man. You drive and kick. Now, you aren't getting the ball back.
You're not getting it back. No.
I don't even know if we had an offense because coach would like, and we'd be at practice. He'd go, okay, drive, kick, and then I want you to, and I wouldn't even listen. I'm like, you mean you want me to go back to cover the fast break? Like, I'm on defense now after I made one pass, coach. So yeah, that was, but it was fun, man. Those guys, Tim's the greatest shooter I've ever been around, played with, and a lot. I'm sure, you know, like you could. I played against and with some great shooters, probably more pure shooters. But Tim, with his athletic build, and I'm doing air quotes on that when I say athletic build for Tim Amundsen, for him to get a shot off is absolutely amazing. I remember the first time I went to Fresno Pacific.
You're like, how does it go in?
I almost quit basketball because I'm looking at him and I'm going, I can't guard that. Like, that guy's tearing me up. I don't deserve to be on this court. And then somebody told me, like, no, he's an anomaly. Like, he does, you know, he's
an outlier. He's a one-on-one.
Yeah, exactly. So, got my confidence back. But
well, he says, right, and he's not shy about that, right, about, yeah, I got the goofiest shot of the three, right? Tony almost makes the Sacramento Kings, right? Yeah. Ty, a pure shooter, has that rotation. But, Tim, it's almost a knuckleball, but it somehow finds its way in the basketball. But he says, like, playing on the streets, playing on the court, right?
Yeah.
You know, the mean streets, you know, Newark Park, right? You just find a way to shoot the basketball.
Yeah. And he did that. Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter who was in his face. You could have been 6'7". He's getting a shot off. And it's absolutely incredible how he could do that.
All right, really quick, we got a couple minutes.
So
give me a Washington Union or Clovis High story in 2 minutes. Like, okay. What's a cool story from your days back then?
So I got a great story that a lot of people ask for, but we don't have enough time for that.
Give me the 2-minute version, the Cliff Notes,
okay.
The Todd Notes version.
All right, we're playing at Bakersfield High, Drillers Classic. Now, a lot of you don't know that Bakersfield. I don't know if they still do. They used to have the fan backboards, the little park ones, the oval,
yeah,
like half circle ones that were glass. Okay, so Washington Union freshman year, I think I'm the only Caucasian on the team at this point, so I already stand out. It's October. I have no tan, so I'm glowing. We're playing Bakersfield that night, Cage Classic, Friday night, 8 o'clock, Jim's Juice. They're ranked 7th in the state. And under the hoop, we got to run out, right? And so we're supposed to walk along the baseline, and then you jog. Carl Ray Harris taught me how to do the pimp limp. Like, no, you got to walk like this. Like, I had to learn that first. Okay, I got that. Boom. And then I would lead the team out. And part of our warm-up was I would come down the middle. I'd throw the ball off the backboard. Everybody would jump, do the tip drill. Then they tip it to the other side, and then the last guy would do, like, a fake dunk because you couldn't dunk. So, well, anyways, we come out. The team hasn't cleared yet, and literally the casting crew for Straight Outta Compton is at that basket. And they look at our team, and they realize I am said only Caucasian, and they let me have it. And I got called everything, and I'm pretty good at dealing with everything except the one guy who looked at me and said, white boy, I'm going to kill you. And I believed him. I thought he definitely has the means to do it. So, anyways, I'm so nervous. Coach says, go. I take off sprinting. I'm at half court by myself. My team's still doing the pimp limp on the baseline. I'm like, oh, good Lord, I screwed that up. So now they're already mad at me because I'm a freshman on varsity. So I'm a point guard, right? So what do I do? How do I fix the situation? Oh, I do ball handling drills. So everybody, you know, I'm thinking in my mind like, oh, yeah, they know he's a point guard, so he's just warming up. So I come down the middle. I go to throw the ball. I just noticed the backboards are not square or not rectangles. I launched that ball into the crowd of previously spoke of Compton's Most Wanted. And this guy with the craziest S curl, he grabs the ball and he said, "Why, boy, you ain't getting the ball
getting
back.
Back."
And it was bad.
Welcome to Bakersfield.
Yes. Yes.
Todd
welcome.
Tompkins,
yes.
Freshman, Washington Union. Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah. Story time with Todd. Amazing. Thanks for coming in. You are the best. You got yourself a little wedding to go to as well. You made it. Made it a point to come here, move some stuff around. So greatly appreciate you, my friend, and the stories. Thanks for your friendship as well. Stay in touch, man.
I will do.
Have fun the rest of the weekend.
All right, buddy. Stay rad, everybody.
Stay rad. All right, it's Todd Tompkins. Next, we got Ken Vossler, the head coach at Justin Garza High School. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Oh, I love this job. I love this job. Tons of fun here at First String Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. You miss any part of any show of any time, just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. Boom. They're all right there. We've got Ken Vossler here. Justin Garza, head coach. Fresno Pacific attendee as well. How about these? The Guardians. How about these guys? Guardians 16-6. Big win last night over Madera South. They are now 4-1 in the NYL. Kenny Voss, welcome to the show. How's it going, my friend?
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. I'm just walking in here and hearing, you know, Todd Tompkins just recite story after story. Just gets you energized. I mean, you're just blessed to be alive.
How can it not? And I mean, we were joking, right? We only had like 2 minutes before the break. So, you know, like what stories or, you know, interactions, what'd you say? You've only maybe said 500 words to Todd, but it's almost like we know his whole life and we share experiences with him.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, just catching up. I mean, we're both in, you know, teaching profession, yeah. And through his son came up through Central when I was coaching basketball, so just interactions there. His wife actually was a teacher with me for many years, so, you know, just I remember he followed me at Fresno Pacific. I had left. There was a lot of, you know, kids that I started with, like the Donnie Moores that he talked about, that I would kind of come and visit. So my first thing, and I don't know if it's my story, somebody else's story, because that's who he is. I just remember hearing that we got some dude that was like a BMX world champion. And every single kid in that generation, I had the mongoose bike with the alloy wheels, right, with the racing plate with my number and putting those pads everywhere until I pedaled it around the track 3 or 4 times and said, that's not for me. But that was just cool.
Yeah.
I just remember meeting them the first time. I think there was a little Nerf hoop in one of the dorms. I think it was your dorm.
Probably.
And, you know, yeah. He just kind of walks through and he goes up there and dunks in. And I'm like, who's that? And they're all like, oh, that's the BMX guy. I go, oh, he is cool. And it's just kind of a I don't know, an undercurrent legend from there.
Yeah, and, you know, he obviously can tell a story. And yeah. He's so funny. He's like, yeah, whatever, 78% of it might be true, right? You know, I mean, it's the legendary stories that you hear that's just tight in the valley, right? You just hear a story from another guy, and maybe, you know, the same story is a little bit different from a different guy. And then it just evolves, and then it becomes just this legend.
Yeah, but he makes you feel like you were there.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about the story. Like, I come in, I don't want to force this, but in just in passing, he's like the Kevin Bacon of the Central Valley. I mean, everybody's like 7 or 6 degrees removed. If you need something, you could ask that guy. He would know somebody that could help you get it.
100%.
Right? But, you know, it's kind of like an 8 Mile right now. I know a little something about you, right? Like I've heard the Amazon story so many times, it makes me feel I was, like, on the bench watching the game. I've heard all of his other stories so many times. But just listening to him talk about his son, right? He just drops life lessons on us. I mean, his son's a highly talented quarterback, goes to UC Davis. You know, they do their family follows and is there to support. And to hear a son say, you know what, they got a quarterback I want to get on the field, Dad. And for him to just say, yeah, I did my job to get you there. If that's what you want, you don't have to make me proud. You don't have to be a quarterback. Be happy. And I'm just sitting there going like, oh, man, you know, I'm in that situation with a son right now, wanting to be a baseball player, basketball, whatever. He's going to go college track. Just be happy. And just to hear him kind of still dropping that, life lessons for us all to pick up is just it's really unique because that's genuine. That's not 78% false. That's 100% on the
yeah. And we right, Ken. You run around sports a long time. You have four boys yourself, and right, you just hear of some of those stories of the parents projecting on their kids and yelling, and right, car rides home after having a bad game. Right, you hear kids tell those stories. Yeah, my dad or grandpa or whoever just lit into me. Right, and that's right. It there's a bigger picture in life.
You know, I kind of wish I would have been a little bit more like that in a way, but I went the other way. I want my kids to kind of find their own path, right? Well, our job as parents is to steer them in the right direction, give them opportunity to experience a bunch of different things, and kind of like them, let them find what, not that they're great at or good at, but what they enjoy doing. And I think, you know, Todd probably maybe a little more push maybe early on because Trent was a heck of a basketball player.
Well, he said that, right? He even said baseball.
Baseball was his number one sport early. Like, he was a heck of a baseball player. So, I mean, just, you know, giving him opportunity to do all those different sports. And then, I mean, anybody who goes and gets a degree from UC Davis did something right.
Exactly right. And he said he's got a couple job offers if the Canadian Football League or UFL or whatever. Right? He's got those opportunities. And he's like, hey, if, you know – if you don't take some of those opportunities in life, you don't want to regret it, right? The regret factor could be huge, right, when you got an opportunity. Like, oh, I'd like to say, hey, I went to Raiders camp for 2 weeks, right? Oh, yeah. You know, something like that, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, once again, just opportunity.
Opportunities.
And who knows, Trent might be the next master storyteller out there. But when you talk about, like, that kind of thing, just hearing, like, stories from other people. Here's two things about Todd Tompkins that stand out. And then, you know, I don't want to give him, you know, our whole
air time on the way home.
Yeah, Todd, you know, go ahead and tune some of this out. But, like, you know, he played at Washington Union. I'm connected to guys who went to Washington Union. And we remember him as a player, remember him playing at Fresno Pacific. But, like, he was an entrepreneur earlier. He has a bunch of different businesses now and, you know, still in education. But, like, a lot of people don't realize, like, he designed the uniforms for the state champion, you know, Team Washington Union. He had a true baller brand.
True baller.
Right? So, I mean,
selling, like, out of his truck.
Can you imagine as a freshman in college selling, like, your merch out of your truck, and all of a sudden the state championship team that's loaded wins with your uniforms? I mean, like you don't, like, do that. I mean, yeah. like that's awesome.
It's not normal, right?
It's not normal. There you go.
It's not normal. And Todd is, he's definitely a one-of-one. And you can, your journey, right? We all have journeys,
yes.
Right, to where we are in life. And, you know, you had your time at Fresno Pacific, and then you moved on. And you weren't shy last time we were on the show, I think it was 2 years ago, when you're like, college basketball, that was NAIA back then, you know? College basketball is tough, right? You think you're a big dude at the school you were at. You know, we mentioned that fun guy that scored 102 points, right? That was kind of a joke, right?
Yep.
It's like, all right, college basketball ain't easy.
No, it's not at any level. And I don't, you know, we romanticize things a little bit, but as an NAIA program, we had some dudes. I mean, the teams before me were, you know, like, just loaded. And I remember walking in the gym the first time, Slick Watts, I think, was an assistant coach. I was, you know, trying to, I think I said, follow girlfriend down to Azusa, end up at Fresno Pacific. I'm in a gym and you're Scotty Patterson. All these guys are playing on a Sunday, and they're shooting from half court. Like
Donnie Johnson.
Donnie Johnson just walked, right? He was LaMelo Ball before LaMelo Ball was LaMelo Ball. I mean, he could just flat out hoop. And I remember just going like, oh, wow, okay, a lot of guards. Maybe I can pick up whatever and show up the first day, and you're looking at, like, Rich Kamunga, 7 foot, and I'm going like, oh, my God, Donnie Johnson coming in, Martin Rentsiketz or something like that from Sweden. Like, huge. Greg Zeffolato. I mean, so there was a lot of talent.
And it's tough, right? Yeah, even Division II, I had the pleasure of broadcasting, I think, three men's basketball games at Fresno Pacific University. Division II ain't no joke. It's like, okay, watching Division I up close, right, the Blue Bloods and that, like, it's a different level.
Yes. I mean, anywhere, any level where you're playing, I mean, I just think the competition and the number of kids that are just so much better these days, right? And now you're really, I mean, just playing for – you know, it's their career. It's their job. They're just playing for more time, and it just really has escalated, I think, all levels of the game. JC basketball's just loaded. So I think
it's going to become more loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I'm trying to shake that out a little bit and figure out how that affects, you know, if you're not like a top 200 guy. Like, because my cousin's a head coach at Eastern Washington, and she kind of talks through, like, the recruiting process a little bit, right? And, like, It's crazy with the portal being there and the that's the first, you know, major push.
Yeah.
So a lot of high school kids not left behind, but maybe under recruited or opportunities aren't quite the same, you know, that they were like when we were younger. I mean, that's Stone Age, but people would kind of come to your school and watch you play. But now it's just kind of like you have to be recognized and you have to have opportunity.
You got to be seen.
You have to be seen. So yeah. Fit is very important. So if you know, JC level player, you want to pick the right JC where maybe the style of play matches or you have opportunity, right? And it's sad to say, but it's almost like a springboard maybe to the next. But that's kind of the culture that we're in.
Absolutely. And I definitely want to talk about your team.
Yes.
And I mentioned in my opener, Ken, and it's true, right? You know, me and my buddy Mike Falls, we drove down to Visalia. You're already shaking your head. You know where I'm going with this. Drove down to Visalia for the first game of the season against another Fresno Pacific guy, Josh Bergman, the head coach at CVC. And we watched your game, and you guys didn't win. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, they outplayed us. They beat us. I mean, it's hard for a coach to say, all right, we had the whole offseason. We're going into game one, and we're not really firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not – I mean, they beat us. But that was a good – initial push, like just when you kind of shape who we are, like not having a lot of success the year before, an early win could have almost like stirred the ship the wrong way. But that was kind of a little rallying point. Like guys just realized, all right, if we put in what we need to, we get the football guys kind of activated in, injuries, all that kind of stuff. And he was dealing with the same stuff. CVC had just got done with football, so there's no excuse, but we kind of used that game to say, here's who we could be. Not who we are. And let's not focus on who we were, who we are that game, who we were last year. This is what we could be. And it just kind of started the process to where we went day by day. And
well, and since then, you've won 16 games.
16 and 6
overall, 4-1 in the NYL. So let's talk about last night's game, right? So let's use that as an example. Madera South had a pretty good record at least a few weeks ago. Home game for you, right?
Last night? We were there.
Oh, he was there.
Yeah, they have 16 wins on the season.
They got 16 wins.
Yeah.
And you guys came away with a 24-point win?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was clicking last night, and how has this team progressed to the level they're playing at right now?
You know, I think kind of going into that one, our plan was simple. We just thought we have, 12, 13 guys that can be big contributors at any time. So we just said we're going to find the right mix of group. You know, you got your guys, your starters, these guys kind of come in. But on a day-in, day-out, if we give opportunity to guys that, they work hard, like a hard-working team, we're going to find the 5 or 6 that's going to push a little bit of a push. It was close early. It's 15-14 in the first quarter. We went on a little run in the second and the third. I think we scored 59 points in those quarters combined. And we just got guys that just started making plays. So it's not really for us in a lot of ways about – you know, what we're doing offensively or kind of like, game plans, if you will. It's just, if we're playing together, if we're playing hard and we're just sharing the basketball and we're not reliant on 2 or 3 guys, it's just who's ever there in the moment.
And you don't have a 20-point scorer guy, right? Or even an 18? What do you got? What's the makeup of your team?
So right now, if you kind of just look at our team, league-wise overall, I don't know, we have 3 guys in league that are scoring over 16 a game. Then after that we have 9, 8, 8, 6. So it's kind of balanced scoring, if you will. But any given night, those guys that are 18, one will have 26, the other will have 12. So it's not always the same guy, but they're very consistent, right? So that you can kind of count on them to get us, you know, so many points, so many rebounds, whatever. And that's a big mark for us because last year, you know, coaches don't want to know or have to guess, okay, what are we going to get out of this player this night?
Sure.
What are we going to get out? So when you can start kind of not penciling in, not necessarily the points, but the rebounds, the effort, the minutes, it just makes things a little bit easier to navigate.
That's it's definitely makes easier things to navigate for you, and also puts a little more pressure on the opposition.
Yes.
They don't know who to key on, right? Like, oh, if this guy gets hot, then we're going to have to do this, right?
Well, like when you talk about guys, like, you know, last year, you know, Cameron Greening, senior, most people keyed on him. I mean, he is just now starting to get back to where he was last year. He had a torn meniscus. He was out for about 8 weeks. Second day back was that CBC game. Probably shouldn't have played him that game, but he's just needing to play, wanting to play, be a part of it. So to me, it's amazing. We have two or three guys that maybe they aren't keyed on right now that could have huge second halves. So as they start building it healthier, I think that is a very powerful point of our team because you can't just go in, all right, we're going to shut this guy down or we're going to focus on this guy. Not saying we have the greatest roster in the world, but we do have 5-6 guys on any given night that are going to really contribute.
Talking with Ken Vossler, a head basketball coach at Justin Garza. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear more from Ken on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. We got Ken Vossler, a head coach, Justin Garza, boys basketball team. They are 16-6 right now. And Ken has done an amazing job, obviously. You know, Justin Garza being one of the newer high schools, the one and only coach, right?
Yep.
You're one and only.
Yep.
The one and only Ken Vossler at Justin Garza. So talked a little bit about last night's game against Madera South, how the program's turned around a little bit and how the players are just, you know, it's not one guy the opposition has to key in on. That's a luxury for you guys. What's been like the best win for you guys this year where you guys have put it all together?
I mean, as a coach, we say every win's a best win, but – you know, we have a couple big-time wins for us. I think early on, Sunnyside in the Hoover HIT tournament, looking at teams that are beating right now, that was a really big win for us. Kind of an overtime game, pretty close. But I think putting it all together was when we went to Tulare Western.
Yeah.
We really played well against Tulare Western. I think we were just – everyone, the energy on the bench, the buy-in, the game plan was executed. They have a big-time scorer, and, you know, all eyes were on him, and the rest of the team's pretty good. So it's not like you can, you know, leave guys open or ignore others and just put everything at Malachi, but
yeah, Fisher,
our guys really, 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 we guarded that night, and our defense created a lot of opportunities for us, and I think we had, you know, two 20-point scores, another 19 and 18, and just the flow of that game. That's really the picture where we kind of started to say, okay, what we thought we could be, you know, coming out of the loss week one, all right, that's probably what our identity is.
And you guys won that game 77-55. So, yeah, that makes sense. A couple 20-point guys, 20-point scorers in that one. How about this? Okay. Well, looks like what, December 30th, 97-90? No overtime in that one?
90? Oh, Mission Oak. Oh, my goodness, yes. that was, you know, that was a very interesting game. There was not a lot of defense on either side being played that game. Mission Oak can shoot it, man, and they just keep going and keep going and keep going. I think at one time we had a pretty big lead, and they just were resilient. That was day four of a tournament, right? And our whole little goal process is, you know, when you have your goals, we wanted to, you know, win a preseason tournament. We went 4-0 down in Morro Bay. But another thing, like once you're not in it, like I think we lost to Merced first round of that tournament. They went on to the finals. You want to win the last game. Like that's your championship. The last game of a tournament, that's your championship day. Because if you keep on winning the last one, you get to play another one. And leading into playoffs, that's kind of where you build that, you know, importance on every game, if you will. I just remember I was worried in that game because things just were just – kind of out of a coach's control a little bit, and Mission Oak just kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and I just was hoping to, you know, come out of there with one more point than they had, to be honest. But yeah, that was a lot of fireworks.
Yeah, 97 points, that's a lot. So who are some? Give a shout out to some of the dudes on your team that are performing well for you guys.
You know, this is a I think a good segue to kind of start with. We do have a huge senior presence. Probably, you know, two or more impactful guys. Maybe on our, you know, our scores, if you will. But, you know, I have a point guard, 4-year point guard, Lee Williams. He's a football guy.
Yeah.
Right.
First good team, football player.
Oh, yeah. First team all league, probably running back, linebacker. He's our point guard. He might score 4 points a game, 5 points a game, but he's one of the better defenders, you know, in our league for base D3 in that level. He's just a spark plug. And he, when we look at what we do, we're waiting for him to kind of get rolling. He's a, you know, probably an 8 assist guy and I, 4 or 5 steals, and then just lockdown defender. And another football player, senior Caden Owens. These are, you know, 4-year guys. He's a first team all leaguer in football somewhere too. Linebacker, defensive line, but he's that guy. He's all over the place on the field, and that's how he plays basketball. I think last night, biggest scoring night, had like 19 against Madera South. And probably, you know, I haven't looked at the final stats. I got the half stats. He had 18 rebounds.
Wow.
I mean, he just does all the dirty work. And of course, Cameron Greening's a returner. He's a 2-time all second team in the CMAC as a sophomore and a junior. He's scoring about 17 a night. He was, you know, once again, really solid last night. 17 points, I think 11 rebounds, 6 assists. So he's kind of firing where he is. Junior Peyton Powell, man, he's really, really starting to figure out who he is as a basketball player. He's our leading scorer. He's over 20 a game. Lefty, just really strong to the rack. He's one with a big offseason. He's going to make a little splash because he's you know, he's a young junior, right? Like, he's younger than most of our sophomores.
Wow.
Right? So he's just now starting to hit that kind of maturity physically and everything. And then we have 6 sophomores. And, you know, we can go through all the names, but they play a key role every night. And we have a freshman in Josiah Williams who really knew that he was going to be a player, but he has just tons of upside. I think his brother, you know, big-time player at, you know, Central High School. And he kind of has that little pedigree, that scoring pedigree, and kind of labeled as a shooter. But he attacks the rim at will. And if you go on, if we have any highlights, he's a LeBron chase down block once or twice a game,
yeah.
Right? So really just those seniors kind of drive it for us. And then just, you know, Peyton Powell and Josiah and our group of sophomores, I call them, were just – all of them so valuable,
and they've been through a lot. 1-19 in the CMAC, so, right?
So, yeah, I shouldn't have dropped that.
Well,
to you right there.
No. I mean, no. We're just trying to frame where you guys have come from, right?
No, 100%.
They threw you in the CMAC, go 1-19. You're competing against Buller, Memorial. I mean, right? All these schools,
yes.
And now you're in the North Yosemite League, where they tiered it. So you're with Madera South, Torres, McLean, and Sanger West.
Yes,
right. It's been a good move for you guys.
Oh, yeah, but in an ideal world, we should have started in the NYL.
Sure.
When I say that, I'm just saying, like we're ready. Like, our mindset was, all right, we're going to show improvement this year, thinking we're going to be in the CMAC, right? We wanted to go out there and kind of just show the value. Hey, we've gotten better. We're a real school over here with basketballs, uniforms, everything. So the move to the NYL at this time, you know, early on, I had to tell myself, I don't want to complain that I'm in the CMAC. Because I loved it. I loved playing against the better teams, right? But just, you know, we should have been in the NYL. Now we're in the NYL. We want to be in the CMAC. So we had to embrace the level that we're playing at. Teams in our league are – it's not a walkthrough. I mean, McLean has beaten us. Everyone's competitive with us. Madera's still, you know, right there with us. So it's not like it's a – you know, I'm not trying to say the level down is, like, easy for us by any means. But, you know, we kind of have a – perception out there like that we've been around a lot longer than we have been. Year 3 is a varsity program, so it's kind of unique to be in a league. You know, our first game was against Sanger West as a varsity program. You know, Torres came in the, you know, as a varsity program the same year, so you have 3 teams that kind of started at the same time. That's pretty unique. And then of course just filling in with Madera coming down from, you know, the CMAC with us. They're having a great league season so far. So, and McLean's just, like I already said, beat us just tough. So, like, I think that our guys through the 1-19, I mean, that's the, you know, if you really talked about the earlier question, probably our resolve and those kids coming through that, I mean, all those seniors I talked about, and Cameron and Peyton, those guys have been through that for 3 years with me.
Took
and
their
a lot,
lumps.
A lot of guys could have just said, dude, I'm out. Mm. But they just show up to the gym, they just keep getting better, and they just really created a culture and a family, if you will. And now that they're winning some games, it's not like they've just like said, here I am. Like, they're still like thinking that they're 1-19. They're still thinking, oh, we got Madera. We got to be ready for Madera on Wednesday. They're not coming in this thinking, oh, we just beat them. So that's what's kind of neat about it. So coming into this league is giving you a fresh new
perspective,
right? Yeah. Like, it's not, you know, we just competed with Memorial, right? Feeling good, losing by 50, whatever. And, oh, now we got Bullard next, and now we got Sanger, right? So we don't look at opponent. We look at ourselves a little bit more. And I think that that perspective really helps, like, not the morale of the room, but just helps us focus on that we're just trying to get better, right? The wins are awesome, and I hope we win more than we lose going forward. But I think it's kind of the culmination of the journey to this point, right? Like, so we're not defined by the wins, just as we weren't really defined by our losses, if that makes any sense. But just the feeling in the room when you walk in like little guardians this morning, right? It was rough to do that for 2 years coming in after losses, because those guys gave everything they had in those games. Now they can kind of come in with a little bit of a smile,
a little bit of a swagger, right? You're okay with that?
Yeah.
And talking with Ken Vosser and playoffs, right? Playoffs have been just a discussion, lots of discussion about it. What's fair, what's not fair, right? You guys are base D3?
Base D3, yeah.
Base D3. Like, thoughts on where you guys are going to land, what your chances are, playoffs in general?
Well, when you talk about, like, everybody talks – coaches talk about playoffs, right? Everybody that I hear talks about, like, how that's formatted and the base divisions and the movement. And we all know there's really no perfect system. Like, you know, everybody can look for the faults in it. Everybody can look at, like, oh, why me here, right? And I'm that guy, too. But when you look at just kind of the overall structure, you know, without singling out teams or anything like that, like, really, and if we went back and looked at the history of the last 15 years, how many different teams have won Division I?
Sure.
Right? Those top teams, they're kind of consistent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So, like,
they're
somehow,
the big dogs
some way,
for a reason.
Yeah, right? And then, not next tier, but there's other great teams out there that could compete and knock those guys off any given night. And then there's just kind of a, maybe, I don't know the right word, ball drop, or like programs that just aren't quite there. So I think that's what the Open tried to address early on, and I could understand.
We're too small of a section.
Yeah, I can understand Open, not wanting to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but 12 teams this year in D1, now you're automatically going to bump some teams down. And I don't know how it'd feel with the trickle down. We're going to be in a unique position last year. We haven't won a playoff game. We were Division IV last year. We went into that playoff game not firing at all the cylinders. Barely. We survived league. Let's just say that, right? This year, like, if you go by Max Prep's projections, which I hear is a big part of it, like, you know, we're going to be in D2 playoffs.
Yeah, I think a lower. I think I looked maybe like a 12.
Yeah. Like, project, like
12, 13. Yeah.
And just, you know, strength of schedule and those kind of things are such big pieces of it, right? I think we played a really strong preseason. Especially compared to years past, but like, kind of, even if we were lucky enough to win some games going forward, you know, we could drop. So where's like, if I say, okay, let's just talk about me. Where's the cutoff? If you're base D3 and maybe I'm a 16 seed in D2 and there's a D2 base that goes down, like,
yeah,
you know, so base divisions are just starting points is how I look at them, right? So I do like it because you don't really punish teams' success the year before, right? There's a lot of teams that maybe won a D3 championship, they got moved to D2, and all their guys had graduated.
Right, yeah.
And you get stuck there. Mm-hmm. So I understand that movement part, but, you know, everyone kind of gets sandwiched a little bit, and there's just kind of this line that the human element or whatever it is, it's just it's hard to decipher who goes up, who goes down. Now, there's some instances, some great teams that, of course, they're going to go up. Right, but I mean, like, they're somewhere in there. I mean, my buddy Sanger. I look at Sanger every year, right? Base D two team. They always end up right in the D1 playoffs. If they put 16, then they're up, right? And he's done a heck of a job with the program. But like, sometimes some of those lower division teams might have their best teams in years, you know, and they get moved up, and maybe they – I don't know.
I know. The thing is, you're right.
Yeah.
You do not want the trickle-down effect to affect you having a pretty darn good season and moving up, right?
Yes.
That's kind of the main complaint, I think, right? Yes. You guys have had a good year, 16-6 so far. You got some more basketball games to be played, right? Hey, Justin Garza is a D3 school, right? You get bumped up, all of a sudden you're like, hey, we won 20 games this year, but we're a 12 seed in D2, and we got to go to Bakersfield Christian in the first round, right? That's a worst case scenario for you guys. All right, Ken, we only got another minute.
Yep, sorry.
Yeah, this is flying by. I got to ask you, right? So we're into cards a little bit, baseball cards, basketball cards. But I got to know, like, who are your favorite basketball players growing up? Like, who'd you idolize and why?
I mean, come on. I'm a Michael Jordan fan.
All right.
I mean, to me, Michael Jordan's it. He's the main guy. He's, you know, LeBron, Michael. I'm on the Michael side. But I grew up in a time where, I mean, I have so many favorites. I mean, Sean Kemp. I loved watching Sean Kemp.
For those out there, just Google Sean Kemp highlights, and you won't believe what
you see. Watch the top dunks of Sean Kemp.
Yes.
Like, you just go, like, it's amazing people don't know who Sean Kemp is. And then, you know, I grew up, like, kind of a Warriors fan my whole life, listened to him on the radio, but for some reason I got plugged into the Spurs, and I love David Robinson, Sean Elliott, right? Like, those are the guys that I grew up. And then, of course, when Charlotte got good for a while, following Ilona, Kendall Gill, and all those guys.
Larry Johnson.
It's just, there are so many great basketball players then, and it just grew up just watching these guys play and wanting to be these guys, let's be honest. But for me, it's probably Michael, then I would go to, you know, the Sean Elliotts and the David Robbins.
The late 80s, early 90s basketball, man. You could hear the theme song in your head, right? The John Tesh.
Yes.
You knew it was time for some Saturday basketball, right?
And as a card guy, I was attached to chasing. Back then, it was like chasing the rookies, right? Upper Deck. I mean, love Dikembe Mutombo, whatever, because that was the hot rookie for a while. I didn't know who Dikembe was. I like Georgetown Centers, all that. But so it really was kind of attached to the card part of it, too, like the – first guys you started following might have been like the rookies that everybody was chasing at that time, right?
Yeah. Then along comes Kobe.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Yep.
So, Ken, always great to catch up with you, my friend. We got a lot of stories to tell, a lot of connections, and it's been fun, you know, just kind of revitalizing our relationship the last few years and getting back in the basketball scene. So, have a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for all you do for us.
You bet, you bet. All right, it's Ken Vosser, head boys basketball's coach at Justin Garza. We got Sierra Pacific girls coach Victor Chavarin coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. All right. Thank you guys for listening. It's our final segment, Central Valley Sports Report. Listen to it on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Just had a really good conversation with Ken Vosser, head boys basketball coach at Justin Garza, and Victor Chavarin, head girls basketball coach at Sierra Pacific, is now going to join us. His girls are 14-6 this year, 5-0 in league, played an extremely tough schedule. This is year one of him being the head coach after serving 7 years as an assistant coach. So, Coach, how are you doing this morning? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
And, Ken, I should have mentioned this, but he had a coaching stop at Sierra Pacific. So you know Coach Vosler, don't you?
Yeah, we worked together for a couple years when he was leading our boys varsity team.
And Hanford, obviously a really, really tight community, and the Sierra Pacific girls program has been a really, really good one over the years. Has a state championship in 2018. Hopefully we'll have time to get to that at the end of our segment. But, man, you guys have not shied away from competition this season. You've played Clovis West, Menachi, Buchanan, Sierra Canyon, St. Mary's. I mean, those are high-level programs. You're going to be playing Clovis as well. What's kind of your reasoning for scheduling those tough games? Is it you guys just want to be battle-tested? I mean, what's your main reason for playing in those really tough matchups?
You know, Paul, when I was a kid, I always heard the mantra, anybody, anytime, anywhere. And so that's really stuck with me. And so I think about that when scheduling. And I think you said it yourself, it gets us battle tested. And so we're not in the strongest league. And so we go into those games and we add those to our schedule to show us the holes that we have or the things that we need to fix. And so it makes us so much stronger when we enter playoffs.
And you guys, I want to talk about your team. Like you, you're the makeup of your team. Looks like you got a senior that's doing really, really well this year, averaging, what, almost 17 points a game. Actually, almost 15 points a game. You have the twins. I remember watching as when they were freshmen doing some good things. So just kind of talk about the makeup of your team.
Yeah, so I always like to say that I was the luckiest first-year head coach in the Central Section. We had essentially everyone return. We had all four of our five starters return to us, and so we just kept that flow going. We started in April, and we kept playing and working together, practicing, and so since the Buchanan game in November, we kind of like turned around and we started playing really solid team basketball. And honestly, like you said, Asia is a scoring queen. She's dominant on the court. She's extremely fast. So we get a lot of fast breaks with her. My dynamic duo, my twins, I'm really lucky to have them. And it's really cool to have twins on the court being awesome players with Abajak and Niang for sure.
And defensively too, like what's kind of been the mantra of the program and this year's team defensively? What do you guys like to do?
Look, we're not tall. Like I will be the first one, and that has been our weakness at times. We played Alexis at Clovis West. We played a 6'5" girl when we played Sierra Cannon, a 6'4" girl in St. Mary's, and Andy Jones is stepping in 5'8" as our 5'9", stepping in as our post player, and doing a solid job. But it's a little hard when we get those matchups. But we're working to hunker down and get those sandwiching those girls and doing better. A lot of the time they're scoring when we're playing those bigs, they're scoring their least points that they scored in a while because we're just meshing and we're having team basketball and defense, help side, and all that good stuff.
And looking at your schedule, I forgot you guys are playing Tehachapi. Tehachapi's 15-3. You got them on Monday. Is that one of those games that you decided, hey, we got to get some really tough games in there and schedule them?
Yeah, no, Tehachapi is a force to be reckoned with. And so we talked about it last year. We wanted a game at the end of the season. And so we knew that would have major playoff implications for our division. And so, it's a game that we need to show where we are how ready we are for playoffs.
Are you traveling there?
Yeah, we're going there. So we're going to leave around noon, just to get there early and, feel good, ready for the game.
It's going to be cold. Good thing, obviously, you're playing in a gym. Tehachapi can get really, really cold. One of the things, Coach, that I admire about you is the spreadsheet that you put out, for lack of a better word, how you predict where teams are according to match preps and where we think they are going to land in the playoffs, right? Lots of discussion about the playoffs, what's fair, what's not fair, but you do a phenomenal job of breaking it down and tweeting that out for people. First of all, it's color-coded, man. It looks absolutely beautiful. It's easy to read. It's almost like you've done it before.
Man, I started doing it once they went to this new playoff format. I started doing it because I'm not someone, I want to know where we stand. And so I started just sending it to Amy, our head coach at the time. And then I just started publishing it because a lot of people were very curious of where they could possibly end up. And so it's a very helpful tool. Obviously, it's never been 100% right when the brackets end up coming out. But it gives a good snapshot of what the bracket can look like. And it definitely helps us prepare and get ready for playoffs. And I hope it helps teams too. That's the reason for doing it. I just want to be a resource.
Oh, and it's a great resource. And So I want to ask where you predict your team is going to land Sierra Pacific. So looking at it here, I got it up on my phone, Division II. There's Menachi at 1 and Sierra Pacific 2. Just kind of talk about some of the other teams in Division II, and I know Menachi, what they did last year, the great program that they have there in Porterville. So talk about Division II and some of the tough teams there.
Yeah, you can never ignore Menachie with Millie leading that program and doing awesome work, and Jonathan leading the way over there. But you have Centennial, who's playing great basketball since Christmas, who's not a sleeper. They're there to fight, and same with Orcutt. Tehachapi is a little down right now. Riley Walden hasn't been playing since Christmas. So the expectation, though, is that she's going to be back for playoffs. And so with Riley and their crew, they're a dominant team. Like, you cannot ignore them, but they have earned some losses that it may drop them a little on the bracket than what they expected to be originally.
Yeah, watching Riley the last few years at Celand Arena, she's definitely a baller. So Tehachapi missing her, that's got to hurt. So then you got, what, LD and Cabrillo and Dinuba, Frontier, Roosevelt, right? Like, I look at Roosevelt, and they got a player that's averaging close to 23 points a game. That's a team that, like, don't count those girls out. It's one of those teams that you can see march through the playoffs.
You know, I look at the D2 bracket as it possibly looks right now, and it's like I see the possibility of upsets every single round. The Division II bracket is just stacked. It's great. Great basketball is going to be there for sure in every round I see.
I agree. All right. I know you love, you're a basketball junkie, and you you follow basketball in the high school area very intently. You go to a lot of showcases and tournaments and whatnot. How about Division One? Right, Clovis West gets a whole lot of love for very good reason, right? They, you know, last night, they beat Clovis North, and now they're 23-0 on the season. Having seen Clovis from my own eyeballs and Central and Carruthers, I haven't seen Memorial yet. How do you frame, like, how good Clovis West is, like, in your mind, watching them in their program?
I'm very happy I'm not in Division One. every year there's these conversations of, oh, Clovis West isn't going to be as strong. Oh, this is the year or something. And it just goes to show that Craig and his program, these girls just step up when it's necessary and they continue to lead the way. And they're truly an awesome group of kids, great coaching staff. And you watch them once and you know why they are the top team in the Central Section, no doubt.
Talking with Sierra girls head basketball coach Victor Chavarin. Is it fair, coach, to compare you to Carruthers? Because in my mind, right, that's kind of what I do, right? Think of a Hanford school, Carruthers High School. There's only one school in Carruthers. The success that you guys have had, the state championships, right, just kind of the dominant feeder programs as well, the AAU stuff. Like, is that a very fair comparison with you and Carruthers?
You know, I want to say yes, but Anna and her girls have continued to excel at a stronger rate. Anna has a special recipe with her girls over there at Carruthers, and so they're a special program. But I would like to say that, yeah, we're a good comparison of what the program works to be, for sure.
Sure, yeah, I guess where I'm going with that, I'm just talking about how much work you guys put in the program. Not being Clovis-centric, right? Just the AAU programs and, you know, the feeder programs and, you know, the amount of work that you, being an assistant for 7 years and watching that and now having your own program, just like the success that you guys have. What has been for Sierra Pacific kind of the secret sauce for your guys' success?
I love answering that question because it goes back to what we, when Amy led the program and to where I've taken over and I've worked to produce as well, is team buy-in and just team basketball and looking at the big picture. It's leading the way of we're not one person. We don't win with one person, but we will be the great, we'll be the best team possible by working together for sure. And we may not have all the resources, we may not have all the greatest players, but we will be competitive because we work together.
And I want to go back, Coach. We got a couple minutes here to that state championship. Just like, what are some of your memories that you take away? What are your best memories from that 2018 season?
You know, my assistant coach is actually our starting point guard from that year. So we talk about it every once in a while, and we actually talk more about the regional championship that we hosted against. I'm going blank on the high school, but the regional championship that we hosted, because we got to host it, and our gym, and I don't know if you've been to our gym, but it seats over like 3,000,
yeah.
And it's just
yeah, packed. It's a big gym.
We're screaming at each other on the bench just to communicate, and it was a 71-70 decided at the last second type of game, and so it was truly a heart racing game. And then just to be able to play at Golden One and take the girls there and the experience they have and how the staff there treats them was truly one of the most special memories I have, and definitely the girls talk about all the time.
You guys got rings, obviously. Where's your ring?
My ring is on my mantle in my room. We actually got a replica championship trophy as well that we were allowed to, we got permission to make. So that was really rewarding and really awesome to have as a special memory.
That's very cool. Very cool. All right, Coach. Thank you for joining us. Good luck for the rest of the season. Keep pumping out those prediction brackets, man. Everybody's very, very appreciative of it. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you guys for listening to the show. What a great show. Thanks to Todd Tompkins for coming on, Ken Vossler, Victor Chavarin of the Sierra Pacific Girls Program. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. And have a great weekend, everybody. The weather is beautiful out there. Enjoy every moment of it, and we'll talk to you soon.